Okay. So basically, this is going to be our last year on the second sugya in terms of Choleb Yom Kippur. And the sugya that we'll be focusing on today, as you probably saw from the Makoros, is the question of how do you determine whether the Chole needs to eat. Now, we've been discussing that a Chole Sheish Bo Sakana has a Hetur to eat. The question is, how do we decide whether someone needs to eat? So already, just start off with the line in the Mishnah. Already, the second half of the Mishnah, Pei Beis Amin Aleph, already, you know, hints. Already, you know, addresses this aspect of the sugya. Someone just want to read that first line or the second line. See chola. Anyone have it open? Yeah, go for it. So what does that mean?
So you generally eat them according to
exactly. So from the simple reading of the Mishnah, it would appear that, you know, you always follow doctors. If you don't have doctors, then and only then do you rely on the Chola himself. So we're going to get to whether that is, you know, really true. The Gemara really seems to qualify and reinterpret the Mishnah, but we'll get there. But right already in the Mishnah, you had this idea of determining either based on the doctors and or the Chole himself about whether the Chole needs to eat. But before we get to the details in terms of, you know, doctors versus the Chole himself, first issue we have to really tackle is the very basic question of what exactly is the subject of the determination. What exactly are the, you know, let's say the doctors and the Chole trying to determine? So we're going to see that the machlokes here is going to relate back to the discussion we had in past year. And basically the question with machlokes we're going to see is whether the subject of the determination is whether eating at this moment is, you know, subject of sakana. Meaning, is it that we're trying to decide whether if the chola doesn't eat, the chola will be in a state of sakana? Is that the issue at hand? Is that the issue at stake? Or no? It's not about whether the current eating will lead to, or the lack of eating will lead to sakana, but rather whether the present eating will help out the chola. Not to say, right, according to the second approach, we'll explore in just a moment, even if not eating will not cause, you know, the chola to be in a state of sakana, just the fact that the eating will help out the chola, that's enough to justify the eating. So again, we're just going to explore these two different approaches. So again, the first approach is that the subject of the determination about whether withholding the current eating from the chola will subject the chola to a state of sakana. And as you could probably imagine, this relates to our previous discussion, because this basically says that the only time we can feed a chola on Yom Kippur is if that eating is required to prevent the chola from entering into a state of sakana. Right, and this relates to, right, remember earlier, the first shear in the sugya, we were discussing the machlokes about, let's say, full shear versus chatzi shear. Right? In a case where a chatzi shear would suffice to prevent the issue of sakana, the question is, can you still feed more than that? So according to the current, the first approach, we'll see in a moment, that you can only feed, you know, the chola if withholding that food will, you know, result in a state of sakana, that aligns nicely with those people who say that, oh, if a chatzi shear suffices to prevent sakana, that's all you can do, because the dechia of Yom Kippur is limited to preventing sakana. So that would align nicely with the first approach that we're about to see in the Rishonim, who say that, oh, the only time that the chola can eat is if the withholding of that food will have, you know, sakana repercussions.
When we say that aligns nicely with those who say that you have to feed chatzi shear, does that mean that it aligns with everybody except for the Bina?
I remember that.
Everybody agrees with this tzad except for the Bina?
Well, remember, not only did we have the Bina, we also had Reb Chaim and we also had Magen Mishnah. So we're going to see that everyone's going to be like Shatamso. So remember, I mean, the Chinuch was one person who said that you could feed full. The implication of the Chinuch inferred by the Minchas Chinuch is that, you know, the Chinuch felt that you can feed full shiur even when a chatzi shiur would suffice. But if you remember, Reb Chaim also held that, and we brought a parallel of the Magen Mishnah in the context of Shabbos, said, oh, you can be Mechal Shabbos even for a shar trachal. So we're going to see, and I'm sure that's what I wanted you guys to see, the Brisker Rav, basically, the Lishitaso, in that same piece where he says that you can feed the full shiurim, he also says this idea that all you need to determine is that it would be the tzorach hachola, not that you need it for sakana.
Sorry, I didn't quite understand the second. We said the first set was that you're scared of sakana. What was the second set?
Yeah, we'll get to it, but that basically it's needed just to help out. Okay. Just to strengthen.
Is he chol of sakana?
Yeah. He's a chol sheish posag. He's already in a state of sakana, but it happens to be that this current eating will not make or break. We'll get to that. Just to first, see the Rishonim who hold this first approach, who say that it's only when withholding the food will lead to a state of sakana. So here you have, starting with the Hagos Maimonides, who quotes the Gaonim and the Rivash, right? And who clearly say, right, this is Hagos Maimonides, in Shvisas Aser Beis Ches, where he quotes both the Gaonim and the Rivash as holding this idea that you only do it when the withholding the food will lead to a state of sakana. So here I have a quote in B'Shem the Gaonim, where the Hagos Maimonides says B'Shem the Gaonim the following line: the Hainu, right, this heter of eating on Yom Kippur, Dafka Kisha Amar Estakin Im Lo Ocham. It's only in the case of the Chola when the Chola says, "I will enter a state of sakana if I do not eat." So that's clearly aligning with this first approach. And also, so we can see inside, the Tosas Yishanim on Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. Everyone can open up to Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. You have the Tosas Yishanim Al Daf. So the Tosas Yishanim, as we'll see, a number of times basically formulates the issue at hand, the determination at hand in terms of whether the person, the Chola, will be in a state of sakana. Anyone want to go for it?
Sure.
See, everyone have it? Tosas Yishanim, Dir Maskel Chola Amar. On Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, this is where the sugya is.
You go and shiurei lios besukun. He's afraid to be in danger.
Again, so already off the bat, that's the first indication that he's saying I need to eat because if not, I'm going to be in a state of sakana.
Im lo kein, im achil noso.
The low adami. Because if he's not in a state of sakana, there's not going to be any hatta.
The low adami lahaysef sricha lener shchaverta meleges lener. This is the case, I guess, where it's a sakana. You need a candle. With a blind person. We do it even when she doesn't say to.
This is like an implied kasha. It sounds like, oh, we light on her behalf. It sounds like a sakana. There's no light in the room. What's going on? The answer is yes. That's a kasha. So Zishonim, who says, he takes this first approach, they're only Mechal Shabbos. Or we only feed on Yom Kippur if the issue of sakana is at stake. So the implied kasha is that how does that work with the Gemara and Shabbos, which seems to be Mechal Shabbos for a non-sakana purpose.
So the Hasanami came with the Rabbanan, the Visuvei Daita, the Lechach Ner, the La Iga Piyuch Nefesh. In other words, she wouldn't eat the candle, she would die.
Exactly, because it's like a psychological factor, which we'll get to at the end of this year, that in her mind, she's so nervous that if she isn't told that there is full light in the room, and she, right, because the idea is that she's blind, she doesn't know what's going on, but she needs to know that the people working on her have everything they need to make her better. So the idea is that if she is in such a state of worry because she thinks that the light is not on, so that will in fact result in an issue of sakana. So that's Tosas Yishanim's way of saying even that Gemara is the issue of sakana is at stake. The kid is locked. Is locked in a room. Is there a sakana there? Yeah. Answer is it must be a case where the tinok in that particular case was subject to
sakana. So that case wouldn't do it.
Right, it's a very, very important formulation. Right, it says the only time we feed the chola on Yom Kippur is when either it's determined by the bekin, by the doctors, or by the chola himself that machmas shiroa sakana pen yachvid olav cholyo. So again, very clear that it's only when they foresee an issue of sakana. Skip just one line.
Does he say only they wrote from the excluding,
let's say, the chola says himself? That's both. He's saying, meaning we'll get to the details, but when the different cases, but when the chola is saying I need to eat, when the rofe is saying he needs to eat, the need to eat is because otherwise he's going to be in a state of sakana. Let's skip one line. This is the chol hani da amri.
Where is that?
Probably towards the end of the line.
Oh, chol hani da amri. It's really anu It's all cases of Sakana.
So it's three times the Tosfos Hashanah makes it very clear that the only time where either Machal Shabbos or Machal Yom Kippur is again when the issue of Sakana is at stake. So again, clearly accepting this first approach. And then the last sheet that we have in this regard, if you turn to the Rush, again, this is the long Rush that we know how you see different parts of it, very important. Just turn to the Rush, again, our parak, this is Simon Yud Gimel. I don't know if you guys have the same Surah Sadaf as me. But there's a part which says, Kasav HaTosfos. For me, it's like the top of the second column, but I'm a little older tomorrow. It's actually a better way of getting it. It's right after the Karban Nesanol Os Mem. So the Karban Nesanol Os Mem. Yeah, everyone go for it? Everyone has it, or? Because right at the carbon asanal os mem is he quotes the Tosfos. So we're going to say the same type of idea.
Kasva Tosfos, had the Kamar Shas, Fola, Omer Tsarachani, Hainu, Omer Shu Yare, Sheim Lo Yokal, Sheyakbi, Bidia, Misuka Nomus. These Svarim.
Right, just explain.
Yeah, so Tosfos says that. When the Gemara says that the Fola says that he needs to eat, well, what the Gemara means to say is that the Fola says he needs to eat because he's afraid that if he doesn't eat, he's going to die.
So it's pretty clear, right? The issue at stake is life and death.
So and
some people enter this idea that the issue at stake is kind of into the Shach Batar himself.
This is Tosfos Chot, right?
This is
still
Tosfos. Yeah, exactly. It's all Tosfos.
Pshita, something bashos lahakel. That was the same. Hi, the Amar Chol at Sarachani. Those who become Babis, Sabar Ilo Achilna Misna. How much will up? So those are explained Rabbi Yannai as when they ask Rabbi Yannai, saying that it's pashot that when who gets to that we go something bashos lahakel will always feed him. So no, the Havamina was. That maybe when the Cholet says that he needs to eat, really it's just that he's all afraid that maybe he's gonna die, and
he's really sick.
Yeah.
But the key is that again, in the justification is that I'm gonna die. That's what he's trying to prove. So Alma, this is the key line. Alma davka mishim sapik misa machilano. So the only time, the only way to justify eating or feeding the Cholet is if there's a sapik misa at stake. Okay, this is very now important because the Rush is now going to reject this day in Tosfos, but it's important. He's not going to reject the entire approach and say, oh, no, the issue is not an issue of life and death. It's rather, you know, any type of chizuk to the Cholet. No, he's going to still go within this first approach that the issue is Sakana. He's just going to say it's not as extreme as you think.
Nearly, the Chorma Gedola is Zos, the Safi.
It's very dachuk to say the case at hand of the rofe says if he doesn't eat, you know, this piece of bread, he's gonna die. That's extreme. Rather, what is it?
Rather, so generally, when doctors speak, they say that if he doesn't eat this, he might get more sick and come to the danger.
Exactly. So again, it's very important to know that even the Rush is accepting the first general approach that the issue at hand has to be sakana. He's just saying it's a subtle different take on it to say the sakana at stake is not, oh, if he doesn't eat the bread, he's going to, you know, drop dead and chas v'shalom on the spot. It's rather that his condition of sakana is going to worsen, which itself will, you know, lead to an issue of sakana. So again, a subtle difference, but important to know that all, again, the Gaonim and the Rivash and the Gosmanios, Tosis Yeshanim, the Balei Tosis and the Rush, and even the Rush himself are all accepting this idea that the subject of the determination is the issue of sakana. And again, based on our analysis, it makes sense that many Rishonim are accepting this approach, because we pointed out earlier that most Rishonim similarly accept the approach that when Chatz Yishir would suffice, you know, to save the life of the Chola, we don't give a full shear. So again, the two go hand in hand, and again, the only heter of the Dechia of Yom Kippur is the person's Sakana. So Adkan is the first approach. The second approach we're going to see is that now they're going to say that the issue the subject of the determination between
So what did the Rush do? He rejected it. What's his own shita?
No, no, he said it's he basically just was like a a slight a subtle distinction to say it is the issue at hand is sakana, but the threshold of sakana is not that if he doesn't eat he's gonna die on the spot. I think what he's saying is that it's rather that if he doesn't eat his state of sakana, like the sickness at hand, is going to deteriorate, is going to worsen, and that itself will lead to a state of sakana. So again, it's still broadly within the first approach of the issue of sakana, but again, just a subtle distinction.
He's talking about the din that either it has to lead to death or just the condition worsens, or just the reality of what doctors say, what their lingo is.
I think I would say the basis of the machlokes is what's expected out of Rofin, but that ends up determining what the halachic threshold is also. I mean, the Rosh is just saying, the Gemara says, the Rofe says he needs to eat,
right.
Most likely what the Gemara is saying
right.
is this latter version, and once that's most likely the Pshat in the Gemara, that ends up being Koveya halacha. So there is halachic nafkamina. Let's say a doctor, let's say it's very clear that it's one and not the other, what's going to suffice, according to the Rosh, as long as the condition's going to worsen, that suffices. According to the Bali Tosos, at least according to the Rosh's interpretation, no, that might not suffice. You need to really have a suffix sakana of the person dying at the moment. Okay, so right, the second approach, though, argues and says, no, you don't need, right, the standard, the threshold is not that, if the person doesn't eat, he's going to be, in a state of sakana. But as long as either the chole or the rofe determines that, eating will be helpful to even the strength of the cholet, as long as it's defined as l'tzorech ha-cholet, that suffices according to the second approach. And again, as you can imagine, this aligns nicely with those who held that even if chatzi shiur would suffice for the issue of sakana, as long as the full shiur would be good, would be helpful, l'chazei gufo shalacholet, that suffices. If you remember, Rav Chaim was the one who formulated the idea that once is a heter pikuach nefesh, what's included in pikuach nefesh is not just that which neutralizes the issue of sakana, but anything that helps out the strength of the chola is included. And that would align nicely with the second approach, which says that as long as they determine that the current eating will be helpful to the state of the chola, even if it's not a matter of life and death, it's not a matter of sakana, that's still going to suffice. So the mefarshim will hold this. There's one rishon who holds this. This is Rabbeinu Tam, who's quoted by the Agos Manios. Right, so Agos Manios, after quoting the Rivash and the Gaonim, who say that the issue at hand must be sakana, Agos Manios then quotes Rabbeinu Tam as arguing and says, what do you mean? How could the... This is an important question. We'll get back to this later. The Rabbeinu Tam basically says, how can you say that the issue at hand between the machokis, the argument between the rofeg and the chola is a matter of whether he's in a state of sakana? How does the chola take a stand on the issue about whether he's in a state of sakana? That's an issue that doctors deal with. What's the chola's, why does he even have, a seat at the table, as they say? So Rabbeinu Tam says, it must be, rather, that the question is whether the current eating will be helpful for, the strength of the chola. And in terms of that question, of course the chola can determine. He can say, with great certainty, that I know that if I eat, that I can use the following piece of bread, the following food, to strengthen it. So basically, the Rabbeinu Tam on that basis says, and quotes the following, Machilin osa, we feed the chola, afilu sovrim, even if we determine, sha'chola eino mesukan. Even if the issue at hand is not the issue of sakana, as long as we determine that the following eating will be helpful, l'chazei gufo, to strengthen the body of the chola, that suffices. So again, that's Rabbeinu Tam, holding of the second approach. And then the second, let's say what we'll call a diuk in the Rishon. Anyone get to see the beginning of the Brisker Rav?
Yep.
Yes, you guys saw it? So, do you guys get to the diuk that he makes in the Rambam? That meaning where... What?
It's not saying what it means about the closure of the Sagrada after, determining that
the closure of
the
Sagrada
is the second question that he had.
Yeah. You're getting there. You're exactly right. Meaning, the diyuk, you read the Rambam's in there. You just like read the Rambam in Beis Ches. You quote at the beginning.
Yeah. So also api atzmo ashiyor dai. So,
before we get to the Rambam himself, so the Rambam, the way he formulates this halacha, in terms of when there's a machlokes between, you know, the rofim and the chole, he says that it's a very interesting diuk. The Rambam says, chole sheish bo sakana, we already have a chole sheish bo sakana. And then the question is whether he needs to eat. So, the Brisker Rav makes a very interesting diuk and says, oh, if the subject of the machlokes is whether, you know, the person is in a state of sakana, whether he needs to eat for the state of sakana, so then the Rambam shouldn't write, oh, he's already a chola sheish po sakana. So by saying he's already in a state of chola sheish po sakana, and then you have the machokes, so the Brisker Rav says, it must be that the subject of the machokes between the doctors and the chola is not whether he's in a state of sakana. Everyone agrees in a state of sakana. It's rather machokes about whether the current eating will be helpful to strengthen. What? Exactly. So the Brisker Rav basically is medayik in the Rambam that, right, the issue at hand is not whether he's in a state of sakana, that everyone agrees to. The question at hand is rather whether the current eating will be helpful to the chol. And the Brisker Rav, again, ties all this analysis together and says, oh, this is Rambam l'shitasa, because he accepts the Magen Mishnah. Right, he says, oh, according to the Magen Mishnah's interpretation of the Rambam, we're Mechal Shabbos, even l'shar tzrachav, even for all needs of the chola, even if those needs aren't sakana related, so everybody says, oh, it makes sense here that the Rambam l'shitaso, according to the Magen Mishnah, would also hold that we're going to feed the chola on Yom Kippur, even if the eating is not a matter of sakana, as long as it's sorech. And that's what the Rambam is saying, that the machlokes between the doctors and the chola is about whether it's a sorech at all. Rambam l'shitaso, again, accepting the second approach, that the matter of pikuach nefesh is not limited to issues of sakana, but rather extends to any tzorech of the chol. And again, this is, you know, the Brisker Rav l'shita. So this is the same Brisker Rav who quotes his father as therefore saying, based on this analysis, that therefore, when it comes to a case on Yom Kippur where, you know, chati shir would suffice to neutralize the issue of sakana, you can still feed full shirim because the full shir would be l'tzorech hachol. So again, these two issues coming together. You know, the analysis we mentioned in the first shir in the sugya, but whether, you know, the heter is limited to chati shir, whether it extends to full shir, again, will now tie in very nicely to what the issue, what's the subject of the determination in the Gemara and Pei Gimel. Is the issue a matter of sankana, or no, is the issue a rather any tzorech of the chola?
So according to this, we have a healthy person who says he's dying and needs food.
Yeah, it's only someone who is in a state of sakana.
How do you see the Rambam? I see that the Rambam holds that.
Because he says chole sheish bo sakana.
But you'll be honest, we believe in Mary. Honestly, you wouldn't be believed elsewhere.
No, but that's the context. It's only by a chole sheish bo sakana who's already in a state of sakana. I mean, the Magi Mishnah and all those Makoros who say that Litzorach HaChola, that's only for someone who's already a chole sheish bo sakana. Because the idea is once someone is subject to the Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh, which is only by a sakana, the scope of the Heter Pikuach Nefesh expands to include not only sakana issues but also shar tzrach.
According to the other opinions, we actually believe the chol if he's sick or not.
Exactly, we have to analyze that in a moment. Exactly. Yeah.
Is the Gemara focused on understanding the scope of the Heter Pikuach Nefesh or the nature?
All of those are probably related.
I know, but I'm saying, like, is it how far you're going to expand? I would say that the spar of Pikuach Nefesh, or how far you're going to understand? I don't know, that's part of, like, yes. Whether or not people have to, like, directly apply them, however you're going to extend that, or whether you actually, you have to have to just, like, once there's a halos, like, sakana, then it's, like, set in stone, and then you can just build up from there.
Yeah, well, yeah. I agree with your analysis, and I think those two are related. I think the reason why, you know, Rav Chaim, Magen Mishnah, Rabbeinu Tam, expand the scope of Pikuach Nefesh to include Shart Shrachav is because they have a certain understanding of the nature of Pikuach Nefesh, that Pikuach Nefesh, or the Heter Pikuach Nefesh, is not just about neutralizing the issue of Sakana, but it's like a certain state. And once someone is in that state of Pikuach Nefesh, we therefore now allow, basically, to take care of that person. But for sure, those two, the scope, and generally the scope of Halacha will be determined by the nature. That's a very good point. Okay, so Ankan, we had the two different approaches in terms of whether, you know, the issue in the sugya is an issue of determining whether the person is in state of sakana, or whether the issue is determining whether the current eating will be letzorech hachol. So one very important, we'll call it impacted issue by this machlokes, is how to understand the concept of lev yodea maras nafsha. So again, the Gemara presents this very mechudash klal, which basically says, we'll see it inside in a moment, but it says that the reason why we trust a chola who says he needs to eat over a doctor who's an expert who says he doesn't need to eat is because lev yodea maras nafsha, which literally means a person knows literally the bitterness of their soul. Basically, a person has an understanding of himself. So in order to, we're going to see in a moment, to understand what exactly that means, that's going to be impacted about what's the subject of the issue. Again, if the subject of the Gemara is determining whether the person is in a state of sakana, so then that's a very big chiddush we'll get to in a moment, that lev yodea maras nafsha, that a person has a certain understanding of whether he's in a state of sakana. We're going to have to explain why would a person have an understanding of that. But if the issue is just whether there's a tzorech for the chola, so then it's probably be a little easier to understand that no, a person just understands whether he will benefit from eating. We'll get back to that in a moment. Before we get to the different understandings of lev yodea maras nafsha based on these two different approaches, first try to just understand based on the Shach HaVetaria, the scope of this day. So go back to the Gemara Pei Gimel and Aleph. This is where the Gemara presents two different shitos in terms of, we'll call it the scope of this klal of lev yodea maras nafsha. So going to the Gemara presents two different positions. The first is Rav Yana. So you're going to see, we'll see this inside in a moment, that Rav Yana thinks that a chola is only believed, right, the klal of lev yodea maras nafsha is only believed when he is countered by a single doctor. If it's the chole versus a single doctor, then lev yodea maras nafsha comes in and says, oh, we believe the chole over the doctor. We're going to see, according to this first opinion of Rav Yanai, but if the chole is, disagreed with by two or more doctors, then according to Rav Yanai, the klal of lev yodea maras nafsha is not going to apply. So let's see this inside. Cole, would you like to read for us?
Sure.
Starting with three lines down, on the top of Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. I'm Rav Yanai.
I'm Rav Yana, Kol Omer Shari, Rafael Mer Enosari, Jamin Lekolet, my Tama, Lev Yodea Maras Nafsha.
So what's the position of Rav Yana?
That if a sick person says he needs it, and a doctor says he doesn't, Jamin Lekolet, you have to listen to the sick person, my Tama, what's the reason, or knows the bitterness of the soul.
Yeah. We'll get to exactly that.
The body.
So the Gemara then asks Pshita, which is also fascinating because to me it's a pretty big Kiddush. But Pshita, of course, a person would be believed. So what does the Gemara answer?
Pshita, what does it say? Refek hayam lei
tve. Kim lei tve. That you would think that a.
Ma'udithema means you would think?
Yeah, one would have thought. Like, it's a phrase. Right, literally it's.
Okay.
So that Rofe, the doctor Kimlates Fe.
Right. The Rofe would
be more sure, be more correct.
Yeah, right. Kamash Milan, we learn out from this Rofe.
It's a Kamash Milan period that when it comes to teach us, right, the Maskana is that Lev Yodea Maras Nafsha trumps the expert opinion of the Rofe. So we're gonna get so obviously the Chiddush of Lev Yodea Maras Nafsha, that's coming against the counter pressure. We're trusting the chola himself over against the doctor's expert opinion. So stop there now for Rav Yanai. So again, Rav Yanai thinks that the scope of lev yodea maras nafsha is that it only is believed against one doctor. As we'll see, it's clear from the Hemshech, from the continuation of the Gemara, that if it comes up against two doctors, then according to Rav Yanai, it's not going to apply. But if you jump down to Mar Bar Avashi, this is the day we paskin like. So I think it's five wide lines down in the Gemara. Mar Bar Avashi Amar,
Kolhecha, the Amar Tsari, Avil Ika Mea, the Amri Lotsari, the Vide Shemar, Levide Mar Savashi.
Excellent. So basically, what does Mar Bar Avashi argue?
Even if there are 100, let's say, you don't need your privileged semi-physician, it's your opinion to overrule them.
Exactly. So we're going to analyze Mahogar in just a moment. But here you have, so again, in terms of the scope of Levi Yodei Maris Nafsho, according to Rabbi Yanai, it only works against one doctor. According to Mar Bar Vashi, it works against any number of doctors, even 100. For, again, one more issue to discuss is that while so far that was just the scope, and the other issue is in terms of the direction, right? The Gemara only says, like, the bottom line, that Levi Yodei Maris Nafsho works when the chole says he needs to eat. Right? The question is, does this concept of Levi Yodei Maris Nafsho apply in the opposite direction, right? When he says, I don't need to eat. Right? Do we say that he only has a certain understanding, whatever that means, when he's being machmir for pikuach nefesh? Or no, does that klal equally apply in both directions? And it could be the only reason why we don't trust the chole when he says he doesn't need to eat is because there's a certain counter pressure against that. But, you know, b'ikaron, fundamentally, the concept of Levi Yodei Maris Nafsho applies in both directions. It's important to determine this before we offer any svaras, because once we fully understand the scope of, you know, Levi Yodei Maris Nafsho, we can then, you know, offer svaras, because those svaras will have to, you know, fully, you know, account for. So again, if, as we'll prove in just a moment, we're going to see that really Levi Yodei Maris Nafsho applies in both directions, therefore any svar we give will have to account for both directions. So I'd like to prove that although the Gemara only seems to explicitly say it in the direction of the chola needing to eat, it really seems to apply in the opposite direction as well. So the first indication, again, this is not explicit, but this is implicit in our Gemara. So right after Kol stopped reading, so you're back to Rabbi Yanai, in the opposite case that he discusses, where Rofe Omer Tzarech, this is six lines down, back on top. Right, the first case of Rabbi Yanai is where the chola says he needs to eat. So then Rabbi Yanai discusses the opposite case. Let's say the Rofe says he needs to eat, and the chola says, I don't need to eat. So they go for that. Rofe Omer?
Yeah, Rofe Omer, sorry. The chola Omer, he needs to
eat. Right, so in that case, we listen to the doctor.
Right.
So then the Gemara says, why? So the question is, why not? Meaning,
sorry.
We just established...
Sorry.
One second. We just established that, you know, there's an expertise of the doctor. And we just established earlier that because of the expertise of the doctor, if not for the fact of Levi Yodei Maris Nafsho, we for sure would follow the doctor. So here, I'd like to suggest, when the Gemara asks, my taima, meaning, it's the opposite. Saying, my taima, I mean, despite the factor of suffering the flesh of Lahanka, we're still asking,
right,
why do we follow, exactly. Still, why do we follow the doctor's expertise, even though that's in line with suffering the flesh of Lahanka? Is implicitly that there is some counterpressure. There's some counterpressure to the fact that the chola is saying, I don't need to eat. So I would suggest that the counterpressure, and we'll see this is explicit in the Rosh's gear, so the Gemara, that the counterpressure is the Gemara is basically saying, my taima, why do we trust the expertise of the doctor, even though he's in the side of Safik Nefashas Lahakel? I like to suggest that, you know, behind that question of my taima is that you still have the factor of Lev Yodea Maris Nafsho. And if we just said the Lev Yodea Maris Nafsho was enough to carry the day when the chola was on the side of eating, so why don't we similarly say it's enough to carry the day when it's on the side of not eating? And the Gemara answers, very importantly, that tunva hu dinakile. What does Rashi explain that meaning? Basically, perhaps, you know, the sickness has messed up the guy's mind. He's, you know, he's not all there. Which implies that if not for that factor of tunva, not for the fact that he might not be all there, we would trust the chola. Why? I would suggest it's because of this factor of Levi Yodei Maris Nafsho. So again, and we'll see this explicit in the Rush, that I think it's even implicit in the Gemara that the Levi Yodei Maris Nafsho is a factor even in the opposite direction. It's just overridden by this factor of Tunva Hudinakele in conjunction, presumably, with Safek Nefashos Lahakel. But now, if you don't trust me, and you shouldn't necessarily, but if you go back to the Rush, you'll see he has an alternative girsa in the Gemara, which basically spells out this analysis, which I think is even implicit in our Gemara, but it's always good to see this explicitly. So if you turn back to the Rush, mine is the bottom of column 1. It's a couple lines before we read before, a couple lines before the Karban Asano Mem. You guys see in mine, I think it's like three lines up. You see it's got period, Chola Omer, also in yours. Do you guys also have that? Chola Omer? Can you go for it, Brian? So again, this is the Gemara we just read, but the Rosh has a slightly alternative gear, so which I think is going to be very telling. So it's very important. It's actually, what I mean, I feel like we discussed at the beginning of the year. Sometimes these fancy Gemaras, they bold, where they think that either the Riff or the Ran or the Rosh, they're just repeating the Gemara. But it's always important to read them because sometimes there are slight distinctions, and what seems to be the Rishon just quoting the Gemara. Sometimes the Rishon has either a slightly different girsa or inserts, a perush here and there, which is important. I think it's a good example of that. So if you read his citation, the Gemara is a subtle distinction. All right, so this is the case with the Chol himself, like we just read. Chol says he doesn't need, and the Rofe says he does need. Okay, so Shomin the Rofe. So here he adds a couple words.
Yeah.
I mean, a pshita, of course you trust the doctor, so, right? We always are machmir for pikuach nefesh. Now there's a key line. See that? So what was the counter pressure? Why do we think we would favor the chola? Because the chola has this factor of lev yodei amaras nafsho. And remember, this is the opposite direction. This is lev yodei amaras nafsho when the chola himself is saying, trust me, I don't need anything. And kamash malan... Oh, it's very important. So again, I think even implicit in our Gemara and explicit in the Rosh's reading of our Gemara or Girsa in our Gemara is that Lev Yodei Amaras Nafsho applies in both directions. And if that doesn't convince you, if you look at later in the Rosh when he's quoting the Ramban explicates this clear as day that Lev Yodei Amaras Nafsho applies in both directions. Again, this is the second column. I'd say towards the bottom. You're going to see that, that little hay, which is Hagosa Bach. You see that? So, one line down from that little hay, it says, Salka Daita Chamina. You guys see where that is? Right in the second column, that little, bold hay. Can I go for it? Binyam? Just explicit is the Ramban talking that he's saying, just like we trust the Chola when he says he needs to eat, you would think that you would trust the Chola even when he says he doesn't need to eat. Why? The kilayim to hacha v'hacha lev yodea maras nafsho. So again, implicit in the Gemara and explicit in the Rosh in two different places, that the concept of Lev Yodea Maras Nafsho really applies in both directions, whether the Chola says he needs to eat or he doesn't need to eat. So with that, it's important to have... Yeah, but I think there are overriding factors, such as Sufik, Nafasho, Slahak.
Don't we say that if he says he doesn't eat, the doctors say he does, then we listen to the doctor?
Yeah, so that's the bottom line, but that's because a couple factors. That's because... When the Chola says he doesn't need to eat, the Gemara says perhaps Tunva who did not get laid. Perhaps his mind is not all there.
We see it in that way applies in both directions.
Yeah, all I'm saying is that the Svara of Lev Yodei Amaras Nafsho applies in both directions. It's just that we accept it. I mean, that's the winning factor in the direction when he says he needs to eat. But in the direction where he says he doesn't need to eat, that's overridden by counter pressure such as Safek Nefashos Lahakel and Tunva who did not get left. But it's important to note that this Svara fundamentally applies in both ways, because it's important to know that when we're about to do that now, we're about to analyze what exactly is a Svara. If we thought it only applied in one direction, we might offer a Svara which only works in one direction. But now that we know that fundamentally it applies in both directions, every Svara we give has to really, be two-directional. Might be a fancy word for that. Bidirectional, or something like that. What? Yeah.
If the Chola says, I don't want to eat,
yeah,
someone else is with him.
Yeah.
And there's only one Baki who argues.
Yeah.
We listen to the Chola.
I think so.
Why would that be? We should say it's Tumbu enough if you went against one.
Because I think he is, once he's corroborated by someone else, then that corroboration. Yeah, or at least, again, it's one of these things. They're factors on each side. And you have to weigh the pressure counter.
This is another right what you were saying. There should be some levity and barzanafsha.
Exactly. It shows that there is something there. Just you know, it's over. Exactly, it's overridden. Ah. So now I like to get to the heart of the sugya in terms of now understanding what exactly is this idea of levity and barzanafsha. Why exactly do we believe the chula, especially when he's coming up against an expert doctor? Right? You would think, you know, doctor went to medical school. He knows what he's talking about. What does the chola know? What's going on? So as we hinted to before, as you could probably guess, the question of how to, you know, let's say, attack this question, how to approach this question of what exactly is the nature, what exactly is the svara behind Levi Yodeh Maris Namsho, is going to be heavily impacted by what is the issue at hand, what is the subject of the determination, as follows. We'll start with the easier one first. According to the second approach, right, that the issue at hand is not whether the chola is in a state of sakana, right? It's not determining whether the person is, you know, in the state of sakana, but it's rather about whether the current eating will be helpful to the chola. So then, Lev Yodei Amaras Nafsho is much more mistaken, much easier to understand. Why? Because it's not necessarily a medical issue. It's can the chola use an extra couple pieces of bread? Will that be mechazek his goof? So if the issue at hand, is like according to the second approach, is just whether it will be helpful to be mechazek the goof, is it just a tzoref of the chula to eat, so then it makes a lot of sense to, in that context, to apply the klal of Lev Yodei Maris Nafsho in both directions, because the guy knows.
He's hungry.
Exactly. Is he hungry? Can he really use a piece of bread? Or are you saying, I don't need it, so why not trust it? So again, if the according to approach number two, the factor at hand is just whether the eating is a tzorech, it's very mistaber to understand why the klal of Lev Yodei Maris Nafsho applies. The guy has an understanding whether the eating is a tzorech. And in fact, in line with this analysis, the Mefarshim, namely Rabbeinu Tam and the Brisker Rav, who accept the second approach and say, the sugya at hand is all about whether it's a tzorech, but not about whether it's a sakana, they actually cite the klal of Lev Yodei Maris Nafsho as a raya. And they say, they basically say, if the issue is whether or not the person is in a state of sakana, so then why would the chola have something to say on that matter? They say, the fact that the Gemara applies the klal of Lev Yodei Maris Nafsho, that's a proof that the issue at hand is just whether the eating is Litzorech, and the issue is whether it's Litzorech or chola. Of course the chola should have a say in the matter. So just to read this inside. So Rabbeinu Tam, again, who is the prominent Rishon who accepted this approach, that the issue at hand, right, is Litzorech, when he rejects the first approach and says, it can't be that the issue at hand is whether it's a sakana, because he says, v'chi cholim neviim heim o bikiim heim? Right? Is the chola himself a navi or a baki to be able to determine whether medically he's in a state of sakana? He says, of course not. So rather, it must be that the issue, as highlighted by the Lev Yodei Maris Nafsho, is whether the eating is Latorah. So again, in the Lashon of the Rabbeinu Tam himself, he's connecting these issues and saying, the pshat in Lev Yodei Maris Nafsho must be about the issue at hand must be the issue of Tzorech. And similarly, the Brisker Rav, in his analysis, when he makes his diak in the Rambam, he says, why did the Rambam say the pshat? Why did the Rambam think that the issue, the subject of the determination is not the issue of Sakana, but rather whether it's Tzorech? He says, because Lev Yodei Maris Nafsho. Why would that be a factor if not for the fact that the issue at hand is Tzorech? Just to quote a line from the Brisker Rav, he says, Avol le'inyan ha-sakana im yistakin imo. If in regards to the issue about whether or not the chola is in a state of sakana, bizeh das chola lo mechra mid. The opinion of the chola should be taken into account. There's no reason to have a lev yodei maris nafsho. Kikushis Rabbeinu Tam, as highlighted by the question of Rabbeinu Tam. So again, to summarize, both in the lashon of Rabbeinu Tam and the lashon of the Brisker Rav, b'shem the Rambam, that if you accept that a reason to accept approach number two, to say that the issue at hand is Tzorech, is because that's the only way they can conceive of explaining Lev Yodei Maris Nafsho, that the only reason why the Chola would ever have a say in the matter is if the issue is whether it's his Tzorech. And again, going back to what I said before, this Svara works in both directions. So again, if it's just determining whether it's Tzorech, he knows whether he can use a piece of bread to get, you know, to be straight, then he'd also understand the opposite direction, whether he doesn't need to eat. If he says he doesn't need to eat, he's at full strength, eating a little bit's not going to help. You can understand why the chola would have a say in that matter, and why Lev Yodea Maris Nafsho would apply in both directions according to the second approach. That's all about Zorah. What we have to really work harder on is understanding Lev Yodea Maris Nafsho according to the first approach. And according to the first approach, that the issue at hand, the machokis between the chola and the rofe, is whether he's in a state of sakana. So, again, this was implicit in Rabbeinu Tam and the Brisker Rav. They're basically asking, why in the world would the chola's opinion be taken into account? You have a person who went to medical school versus the person who has no knowledge, any medical knowledge. Why would you trust the chola himself? Why would you apply the klal of Lev Yodea Maris Nafsho if at stake, if the issue at hand is determining whether he is medically in a state of sakana? So that's the question we have to work on. It's going to suggest, I'd like to suggest, two different explanations for why we'd even take into account the chola's opinion, why we'd apply Lev Yodea Maris Nafsho, even when the issue is whether the person is in a state of sakana. So the first explanation is to say that the klal of Lev Yodea Maris Nafsho basically establishes that we objectively believe the chola. We'll explain this in a moment. That objectively we trust the chola's determination over the doctor's determination. That's not an explanation. That just you'll see this point too. Differentiate this first explanation from the second explanation. All right. So according to this first explanation, the idea is that in terms of a person's own personal well-being, he is trusted over doctors. And just before we explain, just to give a parallel, this seems parallel to the concept of Hodas Baldin, according to the Ketzos. There's a famous Ketzos, probably one of the most famous Ketzoses, that what's the idea of Hodas Baldin, which is the idea that when a person basically says, yes, I owe you money, he basically is mechayev himself in the realm of mamonos, right? We basically trust him, even if there are 100 Eidim saying that you don't owe the money, 100 Eidim saying we were with you at the time, you never borrowed money from the person. The idea of Hodas Baldin, Kmei Eidem Dami, dictates that he is granted full ne'amanos over even 100 Eidem. And the way the Ketzos explains, that it's a Chiddush Torah, that within a person's subjective realm, within a person's personal realm, a person himself has more ne'amanos, even more than 100 Eidem. That's the idea of the Ketzos. And there are other suggestions, there are other alternative explanations. I'm not getting into that, but it is like a mashal. There's a parallel where we see that in terms of within a person's bubble, he is granted full belief. So that the Ketzos applied in the realm of Mamonos. So I'd like to suggest that perhaps what's going on here is that as well. And in terms of medically, when it comes to a person's own bubble, he is granted complete Na'amanus, we trust him completely, and his determination carries the day. So the question is now, like, what is the svar? Like, why would we, you know, grant full Na'amanus to a person? So this could be something which, you know, a lot of evidence, you know, in modern medicine as well, is that a person has a better That basically the idea would be, let me get this modern medicine, that's the next approach, is that Lev Yodea Maris Nafsho literally is that a person has keen insight into his own state of affairs. And therefore, that's the Chiddush of Lev Yodea Maris Nafsho according to this first approach, is that we really feel that a person has better insight into his own body than the doctors. And again, according to Rabbi Yannai, that only is Neman against one doctor, again, when it's on the side of Safek Nefesh L'Hakel. So again, Rabbi Yannai, this says there's a limit to this. According to Marbar Vashni, he takes it even further and says, no, even when you're against 100 doctors, a person's keen insight into his own, you know, into his own inner workings, you know, totally carries a day. But again, according to this first approach, the idea of Lev Yodea Maris Nafsho is that objectively a person has, you know, keen insight into the inner workings of his body and therefore is trusted as much slash more than doctors. And just to finish this up, and again, this svar again applies in both directions, because this idea of having keen insight into your body again applies whether you think you're in a state of sakana or whether you think you're not in a state of sakana. So that's the first approach. I'm going to first Actually, I'll take questions now, and then I'll take the second question.
I don't love this parallel between Adas Baldin, because as far as, like, I'm as knowledgeable about lending money as everyone else is here, whereas I'm not as knowledgeable about medical things as these doctors are.
Yes, I was saying, the spark has to be that although you're less knowledgeable, you know, in a general sense, but the fact that there's an idea of Levio de Amaris Napsho, but is that you have a keen insight into your body.
But the parallel,
and then you have a, what?
But the parallel is here, I have both my equal knowledge and my keen insight, and that's what I believe.
I just bring that, not as an exact parallel, just as a parallel, just to have this idea, and you have this idea by a shot, meaning, possibly a shotgun, I mean, Hadas Baldin is in the realm of mominess, right? In the realm of, you know, monetary realm. You have the parallel also of Ashabia Nafshe Chadich Yisura in the context of the realm of Yisura. Or again, another machlokes, but according to some, that's also the, when it comes to Yisurim, just like in Mamonos, you are granted full Ne'amonos even against Eidim. Again, there are those. I'm just trying to prove, trying to show parallels in Halacha, where elsewhere also you have this concept that within your personal bubble, you are granted full Ne'amonos. Again, there's a counter pressure here. There's a different level of expertise. So to counter that, you have to add that svara that we suggested before, that, you know, although you don't have the, you know, the general expertise, but you have the keen insight of knowing your body, and that perhaps makes up for that.
Yeah. Where's the Ketzos?
The Ketzos is in Lamed Dalet. That's a famous Ketzos. Yeah.
So presumably you didn't mean to say that, like, if a person's leg has been cut off, he has privileged knowledge of whether his leg is going to come. Right. Rather, what I assume you mean to say was that the person has access to, a person has a privileged access to his, and then a person at least has privileged access to, like, his understanding
of his, of the inner workings of his brain.
Now, I think that a person reporting, like, pain, for instance, is probably necessary and sufficient for us just asserting that he has pain. But I don't see why it follows that we should, that even though a person has, like, privileged access about whether he's in pain, whether we should care whether we should care about his opinion about
sakana.
Not even about sakana. Maybe you define sakana purely in terms of the subjective perception of pain, but about what the cure ought to be, right? Like
what the
cure ought to be, right? That seems like a question purely for expertise. I don't quite see what, right? Even saying I'm hungry, right? And I'm willing to say that. You asserting that your feeling of hunger is necessary is for saying you're hungry, even your assertion of hunger is insufficient.
Yeah, that would be more like the tzorach. I mean, according to the second approach, that it's all about determining whether this is a tzorach, whether there's a need, so then you could say, you know, immense hunger suffices. But I think according to this first approach, that needing to eat is another way of saying, you know, I'm in a state of sakana, and therefore I need to eat. So
why is saying that?
So that lectures
according. I don't see why the first details the second. In other words, I see the rabbis are postulating that that the person saying that he is in a state of sakana, say he has a perfect knowledge of whether of what counts as a state of sakana, entails that we should believe him about whether he ought to eat. I just don't see why that's entailed.
So it seems like. I hear what you're asking. The assumption seems to be, according to this approach, that everyone agrees that if he was in a state of sakana, he would need to eat. The only machlokes is determining whether he's in a state of sakana. I think that's the issue at hand. So, I mean, according to the second approach, everyone agrees that he is in a state of sakana. The only machlokes is whether he needs to eat. You know, is that a tzorah? According to the first approach, that the issue at hand is whether he's in a state of sakana. They're not arguing about, you know, whether this sakana, whether, you know, the proper cure for this sakana is eating. They're rather, everyone agrees that if he was in that state of sakana, he would need to eat. They're arguing about whether he's in a state of sakana.
So why not apply the two consideration in the other direction as well?
Well, yes, it seems like the suffix nefashos hakel is what.
So then that was what I was going to ask. Yeah. Like,
I think that's a real. I think
that would, if that's what clinches it, though, then why? I'm not sure I'm going to be persuaded that knowledge, is subjective knowledge of your own pain or danger entails that we ought to follow your medical advice.
Sorry,
yourself. However, the Safek Lahaka, what is that?
Safek Nefashos Lahaka.
Right, the Safek Nefashos Lahaka. I mean, that it seems that the Gemara goes wherever that, right?
Yeah, but there still is a factor of later than Marm's Nafsha, which has to be explained. So you have to give. Meaning, on the basis of something of Levi Le Maris Nafsho, we then, the question is, what is that? So
why doesn't the Gemara distinguish between... I just don't think that it follows that because you say you're starving...
It's not starving. You say that you're in a state of sakana.
But you're saying that those things are relative, though, for the perfection of the person, right? Like, you're saying that you're saying that you're in a state of sakana just because you say that you're starving.
No. According to these Mepharshim, you might say I need to eat, but really what you're saying is I'm going to stay with Sakana, and therefore I need to eat.
Is that like you start with death? That is to also be sick.
Yeah. The issue at hand is whether you're sick. Once I have this sickness A, you know, it's important for me to eat. But really the Mepharshim is whether I have sickness A. And the Chiddush, again, I happen to prefer the second explanation I'm about to give. I think it's more Mechudosh in the read, but I think it's more Mestaber. But according to the first explanation is that, so why are we trust you over the doctor to say that you have sickness A? So perhaps this is the idea that even objectively, we trust you because of your keen insight into the inner workings of your body. But that's the first approach. We'll present the second approach, which you might like better.
Wait,
what
you just said
was
the second one?
Was the first. Still, again, objectively, we trust you over the doctors because of your keen insight into the inner workings of your body. That's the first idea. The second...
Can I make a suggestion? Maybe the grammar doesn't work out this way, but maybe what the Gemara is saying is that, like, in this case, you now have the permission, but not a requirement, to bring this... No? Why do you... It says, Machlinos al-Piyatsu. Now that could mean
on the basis of his assessment.
Right, but that just mean you have to feed him.
I think we would.
That just means that if you feed him, you do it on that basis. In other words, I don't know.
Why would that help anything?
Advance? It would really lower the stakes of whether you're actually taking his.
But once it's a heter. If it's a heter, it means we're trusting.
And but
it doesn't
need to feed him because he's in.
Yeah, I think that's true, anyways. But.
You need to feed him because he's in
danger. Once he's in danger, we would feed him against his will, anyways. But even without that, it doesn't really help the cause because, I mean, the counter pressure is an Isur Yom Kippur. So the point is creating a heter to eat. In order to create a heter to eat, you need to establish sakana. So the question is, all doctors are saying there's no sakana here, and you're saying there is a sakana. So even to get to the heter, the threshold of the heter, you still need to come onto something significant. Okay, so Adkan is the first explanation, again, which says, and you'll see why I'm formulating it this way, based on the contrast, the first explanation is that we objectively believe the chola over the doctor / doctors, depending on the opinion, because a person has a keen insight into the inner workings of his body. The second approach, which I prefer, because I bothered like you in terms of, does a person really have a better insight into his own body than doctors? That's difficult to say. So I like to suggest an alternative to say that it's not that we believe the person objectively, but rather that the person's subjective gas, once the person thinks subjectively that he is in a state of sakana, that's kovei. That exactly. It's a psychological determining factor.
That
I told you might like the second one. Okay, good. You're with me.
But by the way, that's part of... By the way, that coheres very well.
Yeah.
With the conditional alternative, the alternative conditional reading rather than the necessary entailment reading that I was having with him, because that just means that, like, you know, you don't have to say, like, you don't have to deal in all this, like, you know, is he in danger? And, like, once you establish that, then now we feed him. You're saying, like, if we're gonna feed him, it's just because he tells it, right?
I'm happy you're in. Let's just finish it and then.
I think that's all the difference.
Okay, good. I'm happy. I like this plot better than I feel like anybody else. Okay, good. We're on the same page. Oh.
More epistemically modest.
Okay. Okay, so according to this, and again, I It's, I think it's a mechudish understanding of lev. I mean, lev yodea maris nafsho sounds objective. That's why I didn't want to dismiss the first explanation, because it sounds like he knows. What the second suggestion is that he doesn't know objectively. Is that as long as yodea, as long as he thinks, as long as in his mind it's maris nafsho, that suffices. Oh.
So
now to explain how that works in both directions. Oh. This is where I think modern medicine comes in. Right? So in both directions. So in terms of Levio de Amaris Nafsho, that's basically saying that if a person thinks he is terminally ill, that has, and I think, you know,
you kill him.
What?
Can I actually kill him?
Exactly. Right? Modern medicine, I know this from reading and hearing about this, is that especially there's been a lot of research when we get to the placebo effect, that it used to be thought of as like, you know, there's your physical body and then there's like a psychological body, and you know, they're two different realms. But a lot of evidence recently is that, you know, the psychological state of the person can have physical impact on his physical well-being. Yeah, there's a lot of things. So therefore, it could be that in both directions, this is right, based on our introduction, you have to explain it in both directions because of the Gemara. So one direction, if a person thinks he is terminally ill, that will have a concrete physical impact on his well-being. And the opposite direction, if a person thinks he is not well, this is the placebo effect, where, you never hear the placebo effect, where people, when they think they're receiving a cure, will, you know, exhibit, you know, signs of being cured based on psychologically thinking that they are subject to a therapeutic process. So it could be that Levio Dei Amaris Nafsho, this idea of placebo effect, where, you know, they give you, you know, in order to test whether a certain cure, so say a pill, really helps you, so you need a control group and a variable group, right? So you need a control group. So what you do, but they want everyone, again, because of this variable, that we want everyone to think, to be in the same state of mind, to everyone to think that they're being subject to the cure. So basically, to one group, they actually give the pill, and the other group, they just give an empty pill. And there is an idea that people who receive the empty pill will still exhibit certain, you know, signs of being cured. So therefore, they always want to determine whether, is the cure being, you know, is this the person getting better, is that really a result of the medicine, or is that just a result of the placebo effect? So again, you see that even in modern medicine, this concept of the psychological, you know, state of the person, whether the person thinks either he is in a good state or whether he thinks in a bad state, having an impact on his body. So I like to suggest that the Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh takes that into account. And therefore, in both directions, Lamaisa in one direction, if the person thinks he's in a state of sakana, that's going to carry the day. And in the opposite direction, if he thinks that he's not in a state of sakana, that was a factor. Again, it was overridden by other factors, a tunvahu dinakulai in conjunction with Safik Nefashas Lahakil, but it was a factor. And before I take any questions, I would like to just bring some evidence in halacha to this idea, that where do you see this idea that the psychological state, or the psychological, you know, thinking of the person is koveh. So the first raya to this comes back to the Ran. There's some background to this. If you turn to the Ran, so I really wanted one line, the Ran in Dalet Amud Aleph B'Dape Arif, when he's explaining Mar Bar Ravashi, this idea that the Lev Yodei Maris Nafsho, even though his Nemot against 100 doctors, he has like 6 or 7 very important, he quotes a phrase which, if you don't have the background, doesn't seem to be so important, but if you know the background, it becomes very important. You see in Dira Maskel, like right before the big words of Klola.
Yep.
Yeah, what did you go for, Aaron? Just
from the Yala.
Just read the line. Behu Neman?
Behu Neman alas me just from the age.
So he quotes this klal, which it sounds like he's just, you know, paraphrasing the Gemara, and say, oh, look, he's Neman more than 100 people. But really, that is a klal, which is quoted by the Gemara in Krisus, which we're going to explain the context in a second, which becomes very important for this psychological idea, for the subjective das idea. So again, anyone get to see the Gemara Krisus? Can we get to that?
We were very close.
Right, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you'll see it after. It's important. You get to see it? So what's the Machokas? Machokas Tanai?
As to whether if two edims tell a person that she ate chayav shogeg and the person himself denies it, says he did not eat chayav at all, as to whether he becomes actually chayav korban katas.
Yeah, that's right. Right, the halacha is if you eat chayav b'shogeg, a certain type of prohibited fat, you're chayav a korban. So what happens when two edims say, we saw you eat it, but you say, I'm telling you, I didn't eat it. So the question is, who wins? Normally, two edim create objective fact. They're saying that you ate it, but you're subjectively saying you didn't eat it. So the machok is tanan. The two, and I think, are Velazar and the Chachamim? Rei Meir and the
Chachamim. What's the case? More time, what's the case?
Two edim say, you ate chalev, and the person himself is saying, I didn't eat. So the question is, does the person bring a carbon on the basis of the two edim? Or is he potter because he himself subjectively thinks he didn't?
As far as like machos, as far as a regular onish, there wouldn't be a concern.
Correct. It's specific by carbon chatas, because the Gemara, the Pasuk, says in the context of carbon chatas, O hoda elav. The sin has to be known to him. Hoda. Has to be known to him. Just a second. So there, Rei Meir says, oh, Pasuk, objective fact, the Edim established objective fact. Edim say you ate it, you're chayav a carbon. That's not our discussion. The Rabbanim, the Chachamim, say, no, you're pater. As long as you say you didn't eat it, you're pater. So the Gemara increases Yubayz. So that Mishnah is on Yud Aleph on Yubayz, increases. And the Gemara increases Yubayz and Aleph has two different deos to explain the Rabbanim. Because, what do you mean? There are Edim saying that you ate it, so why don't you bring a carbon? So I want to focus now on the first day of there, which is exactly this line the Rabbanim is quoting. The Gemara says, Adam Nemon al Atzmo, Yoser Mineya Ish. A person is believed about himself, even against the 180. So the question is, what's that idea? Does that mean you're believed against, you know, regarding yourself more than 180? So here, again, this is like a bigger topic. I don't want to give you guys all these makaros to see. But basically, if you see the sigya, there are a number of Rishonim, I'll give it to you right now, in the sigya in Yevamos, Pei Zayin Amid Beis. It's the Ramban there, Dibra Maschal Amrulo, the Rashba there, Dibra Maschal Amrulo, and the Ritzva there, Dibra Maschal Ba'anachon. They all say that the pshat in this line of Adam Nemanu Adam Al-Atzma Yosir Me'ayish is that the koveya at hand for Karban Chatas is the person's subjective das. And therefore, even though objectively, two edim create objective fact. Two edim say you ate it, objectively, if we're putting on our halachic lenses and we're asking the question whether objectively we think the person ate it, the answer is the person ate it. But, ohol de'ilav means that the person is only chayev achatas if he thinks, if he realizes, if he subjectively realizes and knows that he is chayev. But in this case, because he subjectively doesn't think that he's chayev, there's no chayev karma. And that's the pshat, according to this, we've shown him in this line of Neman Adam al Asma Yosim Me'ish, why is a person believed against the 180? Only when the koveya, the determining factor at hand, is the person's subjective knowledge. And since in this case the person subjectively thinks he's denying reality and saying, in my mind, I didn't eat it, therefore that's the koveya. So I'd like to suggest, again, those are all Chachmei Svar, Ramban, Ritzva, and Rashba. So I'd like to suggest. What? Yes, exactly. And the Ran, who's also in the same base medrash, the Chachmei Svar, I'd like to suggest, by invoking this klal of Adam, hu neman al atzma yosir me'ayish, perhaps he, and to explain lev yodei amaras nafsho, I like to suggest, perhaps he's invoking this idea that not only is that klal true, that the subjective das is koveya in the realm of karban chatas, perhaps here too, the reason why lev yodei amaras nafsho, by my marbar of Ashi, you're even believed against 100 doctors, is because even though objectively the doctors, we trust the doctors objectively. But the koveya here, like in the realm of korban chatas, of oh holy love, where the subjective das is koveya, so too here, like we're developing the subjective das of the chola is koveya, and if he thinks he is in need of a refua, that is going to be koveya. So that is one raya, like I suggest, if you understand this ran in light of the other chachmei svara, the other members of this base medrash, that by invoking this klal, he's invoking this idea that really the subjective das is koveh. So one last ride before I take any questions, with this we'll conclude. I wanted to show one Gemara which seems to prove that the Heter Pikuach Nefesh takes into account the person's subjective psychological state of mind. What?
The blind one.
Exactly. Exactly. The Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos, which the Tosafot Yeshanim, you know, referenced earlier, has the following case. The Chole, or the Chola, is blind. She can't see. But in a case where she says, can you turn on the light for me? Right? The Gemara is going to say that we're going to turn on the light, we're going to be Mechal Shabbos on her behalf, because it's going to soothe her psychologically.
Why don't you tell her it's on?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, that's a good question. But, it's a good question. But the Gemara, and we'll read the lesson inside in a moment, basically says we can be Mechal Shabbos Mishum Pikuach Nefesh, even if it's not objectively, and it's a case where the people can see. But, as long as it's psychologically going to soothe the Chula's mind, we're going to Mechal Shabbos. So I think it's a good raya that in the realm of Pikuach Nefesh, we take into account the Chola's subjective odas. So this is in Shabbos, Kuf, Chav, Chesam, Vez. The Gemara says as follows. Amar Mar, quotes earlier by Isa. Im Haisat Tzricha L'Ner, if the Chola needs the light, Chaver to Matlekes La'as L'Ner. Our friend of hers can light the match. Gemara says, Pshita, of course, you could do anything which is needed by the Chola. Gemara says, no. Lo Tzricha B'suma. We're dealing with a blind lady. Samao de Tema, Kevan de Lo Chazia, because it's not really going to help her. Aser, therefore, there's no Pikuach Nefesh here. Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is to teach you the following. The Isuve Miyasva Daita, it's going to quell her fears, soothe over her das, her psychological state. Kasavra, because she's now going to think that E, Ikamidi, if there's anything that needs to be taken care of from me, Chazia Chavertav Avdili. She'll be soothed. She'll now know that her friend can take care, can sufficiently take care of her. So again, in the Gemara itself, you see this concept that in the realm of Pikuach Nefesh, we take into account her psychological state. So again, on the basis of both the Ran's invoking of Neman Adam Alatzmi Yosr Mea Ish, which can be read in light of the other Chachmei Svarad as being subjective, and in light of this Gemara, I like to suggest that perhaps that's a second explanation of Lev Yodeh Maras Nafsho. Is that we objectively, you know, trust, you know, the Chola over the doctors based on the person's keen understanding of their own body? That's the first explanation. The second explanation says, no, objectively we think the doctors are right. But because this person, the Chola, thinks subjectively that they are either in a state of Sakana or in the opposite direction, thinks that they're not in a state of Sakana, there is a certain, you know, standing of Lev Yodeh Maras Nafsho for that.
So is this like the second answer before this we just said from Shabbos confront us? Is like the second answer about the
placebo
idea?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was just the structure is that the second explanation that it's based on subjective, I was bringing two Ranas to that. One is the Ran, we're bringing this cloud, which I, if you read in light of others, is based on subjective. And the second Raya is just to this idea, like just because, you know, who says that we take into account psychological, you know, factors, subjective danas when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh? That's the Gemara in Shamas, who proves that. Yeah.
The term of Neman al Atma Yitzhak, why don't we just say it's not always like
Dine. Yeah, because it's only according to this explanation, because it's not that a person is objectively Neman, it's rather that, you know, the person's subjective das is Koveya. So it only applies in realms where that's true. So it's very unique. Comes a moment, it comes to nefashos, you know, did the person kill or not? We care about what objectively happened. It's only in the specific realms of Karban Chatas, according to those Rishonim, and perhaps Lev Yodeh Maras Nafsho, Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh, where we say the objective fact doesn't matter as much as the...
I don't know why that is.
In which case?
In the case of this, yes, the brain, if people saw it, there's 100 guys saying that they saw that he did it.
But carbon chatas, because carbon chatas, not just even intent, it's awareness. Because carbon chatas is you did something bishogin. Is you did it bishogin. You did it unintentionally. And the
quid of. You were aware that you did it?
You know, you didn't, let's say the case, you didn't know it was chilim. You thought it was something that was kosher. And you ate it. And later on, the point is...
Oh, it was something that was
good. Exactly.
You did not intend to buy it.
Correct. That's a shogeg. It's unintentional. So Karban Chatas basically says, oh, hold the elav. When it becomes known to you later that which you did was aser, so then you have to bring in Chatas. But according to the Rishonim, ohol de'ila, when it becomes known to you, is that like an objective fact becomes known to you? Or no, you come to the realization subjectively that you violated. So according to that understanding of that, the pshat and the pasuk, ohol de'ila, when you subjectively realize that you did a sin, which is very broader implications in terms of, you know, kapara, in terms of, it's not just objectively, it's you have to have a realization that you did the sin in order for you to require a kapara of chatas, broader point which we'll get back to perhaps later. But so that's in that realm. And then in our realm, also in terms of hetzer pikuach nefesh, that's what we were developing before, right, specifically because there's an impact of your psychological, you know, awareness or thinking on the physical, on your physical well-being.
Before they kill you, you have to accept.
No, because if you did something, if it's objectively determined that you did something that deserves misa, if you killed someone, I don't accept that I killed it. It doesn't matter.
Maybe didn't.
There's a rashi. No, but because objectively you think you did. It's only when it comes to kapara.
It is a kapara. The arum misa basin is.
Okay, it's also a kapara, but you know it's also biartarum kibracha. They were trying to, you know, eradicate, you know, evil from our midst. So there are multiple factors at play. But in most realms, you know, objective, you know, whatever objective, we live in an objective world. You know, it's only a specific, you know, in terms of kapara, it's the chiddush and kapara. Where here it's the chiddush that, you know, subjective, you know, understanding of your body has an impact. It's only in those realms.
So the Gemara had two deals. It was Mar Bar Avashi. There's another opinion that said that once there's two against him, you don't listen.
Yeah, I should have said this.
How is
this? Yeah, I should have noted that this second explanation only works for Mar Bar Avashi. Should have noted that, and it's actually important because you take this approach that, you know, that your subjective, you know, knowledge is koveya, so then it should be koveya. It doesn't matter how many doctors, because yeah, so
that'd be Guf the Machlokas.
Yeah, I love that exactly. So Guf the Machlokas could be in different understandings of Levio de Mar Snap Show. Thank you very much. And I think it's also significant that the Ran only invokes this idea in the context of Mar Bar Avashi. So very good. According to the second explanation, this only explains Mar Bar Avashi. For Rabbi Yana, you think this only can only be that one. These two understandings of Levio de Mar Snap Show Gufa could be the Machlokas between Rabbi Yana and Mar Bar Avashi. Thank you very much.
If according to the second explanation that the psychological thing changes you physically into a state of sakana, shouldn't the doctors see that and be saying that he's...
No, because they're saying physically, they're saying right now physically you're fine. But if the guy continues to think that he has illness A, so that's going to have an impact moving forward.
It'll make him physically moving forward. So at that stage, why don't they just do that?
Wait, is it called it establishes the thing, or it causes the thing to come about?
I think it has an adverse impact on the person's physical well-being.
So it's not kovea. It's kovea only contingently.
Well, kovea means determines.
No, I know.
So it does determine.
So, no, it doesn't determine it. It seems it doesn't determine
it. It causes and thereby determines.
It causes down the road.
Yeah, meaning he's currently in that state. I mean, he currently thinks that. So he's now in a state which he continues.
It's not because he thinks it that we say that it's because of what might be caused by him thinking it.
I don't know.
Well, that's important, I think.
I know.
The tunva, because you can import the...
Yeah, I think it's both.
...tunva maneuver, and...
I think the second explanation is, I'm trying to say the placebo effect, is that I think it's really, his thinking is really a cause. And therefore, even though we trust the doctor,
is the potential cause of physical illness because, or potential cause of physical illness by virtue of this, that we say
exactly. Because the doctor is saying you don't have illness A,
right?
But the guy's saying
I think I have,
but illness. I think I have illness A is going to have an adverse impact.
So that is not an effect. Then the person doesn't have a privileged position. That's just an evaluation. I was worried that I wasn't gonna, in fact this doesn't solve my problem.
Okay. We'll talk about it later. Yeah.
This is just to say that the Gemara is making, if the placebo theory is correct, this is just a prediction about adverse effects that could come of the subjective perception of sakana. Not that the subjective perception of sakana is necessary and sufficient to establish, it might be necessary, but not sufficient to establish sakana. In other words, this is as much an empirical argument as the first.
No, but it's a different, from a completely different angle, though.
What do you mean?
It's not that we trust the objective opinion of the chola over the doctors in terms of his current state, but rather that because he has that subjective opinion, that has, you know, a momentum in it.
Except
that
Except that the judgment that's being made about whether he's in a state of sakana is in both cases not on the basis of the expression of a mental state, but is rather on the basis of a judgment about an objective fact. Now, it happens to be an objective fact of health. Now, it happens to be that determination is come to in different ways. In the first case, it's that you know your body better than other people, right? So that is to say, you say that you're in sakana, and we trust you. And the second case though, the sense is actually even less. There's even less import placed on the psychology of it because it's a physical effect that's entirely downstream of the statement of a mental state, or just the thinking of a mental state, because maybe you don't need to say I think I have disease A and then wait for it. You can just say
there might be other ways to say the psychological idea. You can say maybe the psychological has a kovet, is a kovet in and of itself. I wasn't going down that road, but I'm open to that. Especially based on the Gemara and Shabbos.
I think the first one actually might be more hospitable to the view that that we really privilege the subjective. Now, of course, you have to divide between. Then, of course, you have to answer the question of whether we're trusting guys' medical knowledge or just knowledge of thoughts in regards to cures, or just knowledge of is in regards to the state. And you have to answer the question of whether there's a vision there. This, of course, could be answered if we, in fact, abide by the conditional reading of Machlin as opposed to the causal entailment one. But maybe I'll write an article about this.
Sounds good. It's last. Yeah.
This might be a bit of a stretch, but yeah. I was wondering, could one also say that because of something happened, that the Rush not so really mean that because this guy, Rush talked about this, we know the guy is going to be very, very nervous because perhaps he's going to die, and therefore his evaluation of the situation is always going to be more towards the side of erring on the side of caution. And therefore, because of Sabbath and Hakka, we're always going to, if we can, and we have no reason not to, go based off of the opinion of someone who is who their Maras Nasho is, like their Das is thinking towards their Maras Nasho.
But
being
at the end of the day, what's the value of labor than Maras Nasho?
The value of it is that it's going to lead to a situation of Sabbath and Hakka.
But why?
Because there are always
something about Shlach Hakel is the idea that, you know, when you have different factors, the way we play out the factors is like we, you know, err on the side of caution to say that we're gonna, even if there's, like, you know, even if objectively there are more, you know, more factors going on the non nefashos side, we err on the side of caution. That's only when there is a factor. You know, when just like, oh, you know, someone could be sick, so let's call. No, there has to be a reason. So maybe the Maras Nasho can't just be explained by something else.
Because in the action-wise, the position that's going to be most leading towards something else is going to be the person who is worried about his condition, and therefore we're more willing to trust the person worried about his condition because of something else.
Okay, but you still have to explain. Come on, to like either one of these two explanations or something else in terms of. So is it a trust? What?
Can't it just be that
no,
he subjectively value it based on the fact that he is more, even though we don't actually objectively know what he's saying is true, subjectively he's more training situation, which is being more machmer about him.
You think you still have to explain like why we take into account the subjective in order to then say, oh, we'll be mad.
We value his life.
But everyone else is saying that his life is totally fine. So you know, life's not a mistake.
This is from the physical tradition.
Are you saying are you like that?
Building on the subjective.
Oh, okay. So you're accepting this. Okay, fine. I just want to say you don't need it because of.
No, I'm just saying. Can't the subjective thing be taken?